Hi, Ed here from Super Anime Podcast. First of all, we want to thank you so much for pressing play. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. As we continue to remember and celebrate the life of Akira Toriyama, today we wanted to go through our archive again to bring up the over 9,000 download episode that we did in respect to Vegeta and just how he has developed as a character. So we hope you enjoy this episode. And just one quick fun fact before you get into this episode. Our logo is actually inspired by two anime. One is One Piece, of course, and the other one is actually Dragon Ball Z. So the orb behind the star is actually to replicate a spirit bomb. And this was something that I designed just because we wanted to showcase that in order for a star to be created, it needs a lot of energy. So that's just one quick fun fact. Akira Toriyama's had a massive impact, or I say, on many people's lives, not just with Dragon Ball. He's done other works as well, but of course Dragon Ball's been the main one, and Dragon Ball has reached, dare I say, billions of people. So thank you so much, Akira Toriyama. You're really going to be missed, but we know that your legacy lives on forever. So thank you. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and thank you for listening. He's working in a factory, and then, you know,
no, that's your stories that people laugh at. That's working in a factory. What are you talking about? Well, so there's this one story, right? Vegeta's working in a factory, and you know, Nidorino jumps and stabs them. And then Vegeta goes, "Oh, Kakarot, you done it again." And then, yeah, and then he gets poisoned, and then he wakes up in hospital.
Oh, I'm dead. No.
But he was only out of water for 2 days, so he went back. he went back to work. He just needed a plaster. It's all right.
He said, Kakarai, come.
Bonkai Senbon Sakura Kageyoshi.
Welcome, anime fans, to the Super Anime Podcast, where each week we look to entertain, inspire, and inform you on all things anime. Whether you're new to anime or a seasoned veteran, we invite you to come listen, share, and laugh with us. We hope every episode ignites your otaku spirit and leaves you feeling super. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy. Let's start the show. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Super Anime Podcast. And it's a special one, guys. It's a really, really special one. We've got over 9,000 downloads. I really want to thank everyone. I appreciate it.
Time out. Come on. Come on. Come on.
What?
Come on.
Come on what?
Come on. Come on what? You have to say it in the truth. You have to come on. You're not an anime fan unless you say it properly. Go on. I'm going to give you another chance. Try that again. Come on, man.
All right, go on then. Go on. Ask me the question, though, Solo. Ask me the question.
Ed, how many downloads do we have?
It's over 9,000! Yes, oh, all right. Gosh. Yes. We had to do it, guys. Sorry, but we had to. But no, in all seriousness, thank you, everyone, so much for helping us achieve this landmark. We also have a Solo special story. Someone sent in a Pokemon Solo, so there's a lot going on in this episode. So Solo, be ready, because this Pokemon woo, it's gonna be a challenge. But yeah, thank you for that. The person will mention him at the end when we do the Solo special stories. But today, as we mentioned, we are talking about Vegeta. In honor of Vegeta, with the 9,000 downloads, we are going to basically honor this episode for Vegeta. Now, for those who haven't seen Dragon Ball Z, where have you been? Have you been under a rock? But, you know, some people haven't. It's over 9,000 is probably one of the most famous quotes. Would you say it's the most famous anime quotes, Solo?
What? It's over 9,000?
Yeah. It could be, you know. I can't think of any other anime quote
that people would reference as much, given that Dragon Ball Z is so popular anyway?
That's a good question.
I think it might be the most popular anime quote. Definitely meme. Maybe not meme. I think it'll be both, meme and quote.
That's a tough one. That's a good when you say question. Tough one,
is there any other ones in your mind that you think would rival it?
I'm thinking no, there's nothing else. Because I thought Believe It from
yes, Naruto. You know,
people use it like mockingly, right?
So I was thinking Believe It. Yeah, that's exactly. True,
so I was thinking that has to be one.
Mm.
But I think It's Over 9000 is definitely bigger than Believe It.
I think it's over, yeah, I think it is.
I think it's better than that.
Yeah. I think it might be. I would love to hear what listeners think.
You
know what?
I think you might be right. It's Over 9000 might be the most well-known anime quote.
I think so anyway. I think so.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to research this. Ooh, ooh, I like that one. That's a good one. That is a good one.
I'm always giving you some knowledge, as it were. I'm dropping some knowledge.
mic drop.
But yeah. Transitioning on from that, what were your first impressions of Vegeta Solo? You know, he arrives, you know, in there, I can just see, you know, him and Nappa in the air, you know, they're here, and Krillin's like, ooh, you know, scared. Piccolo's like, go on, do not scour, or whatever. But yeah, I can't do Piccolo's voice. But yeah, what were your first impressions of Vegeta?
Do you know what? This is a difficult one because I was so young, because you have to remember we were really young when Dragon Ball, like, as in, when I was probably about 7. I can hazard a guess, about 7.
Maybe older, no?
Okay. Let's just say.
Older. I don't remember. I think I first watched Dragon Ball Z at age of 9, 10. I think.
Okay, let's just make it like let's take the average and just go straight. Let's go. 8.5.
Cool.
Let's just call it 9. Let's just for argument's sake, yeah, 9. So, but I can't remember. The last impression that I got of Vegeta was, why are you so angry, man? Like, that's the last thing. Why are you so angry? That's the lasting impression that I can't remember my first impression, but the first thing that comes to mind, and I remember thinking this even when I was younger, is that this guy's just angry. I mean, that must be tiring, you know, relax a little bit, have a Kit Kat, eat a Snickers, you know, just chill out a little bit. That's the only thing, but it's. We'll get onto this in a second, but the lasting impression that exists now, I've said this before, he's my favorite Z fighter, Vegeta, hands down. He's my favorite one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely. But I'm going off topic. What about you? What was your first impression?
No, I definitely think he was very cantankerous, you know.
Welcome to another episode of Ed and Ed's Special Words. Today's word, cantankerous. Oh. You should put like a little you know, little there's like US 90s TV show jingles. You should put that in.
Oh man, but yeah, definitely cantankerous, very, like you mentioned, like it just basically means angry, you know, very forthcoming, very, like, you know, egotistical, prideful. And I you know what? I thought, you know, he was quite silent at the beginning. You know, it was Nappa kind of doing the destroying and let me beat them and everything like that. He was very calm. Even when, like, they were like, oh, let's wait for Goku. And he's like, yeah, I'll set a time limit and stuff like that. So he was very calm. You could tell, like, he had an air about him, which was like, and even the fact that Piccolo even noticed it, that the fact that Nappa was taking orders from Vegeta means that even Vegeta is probably even more powerful, and they were struggling with Nappa. So there was definitely a sense of, yes, he's angry. Yes. Or even then, he wasn't that much angry. It was more calm, actually, now I think about it. He is a cantankerous character, but in terms of the actual first first introduction, he was a bit, it was more calm. It wasn't when he started fighting and stuff like that, and more so when you start unwrapping and unpacking the character of Vegeta as he goes to Namek and all that stuff and Frieza and all that. Then you start seeing how angry he is. But I think in the beginning, it was a calm facade. Obviously, when he starts fighting Goku and then his pride and gets in all the way and, you know, how can I be losing to such a commoner? You know, I'm a Saiyan prince kind of thing. You know, that all came in like he's a low rank Saiyan.
But you didn't think all of this when you're 9 years old, did you?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Actually, I did, you know. I was using Cantankerous back then.
Mother, this character on said TV show is quite the cantankerous individual.
She was like... My mom be like, hey, Edward, what a good word, eh? A very, very good word you have used there. You could have also used acrimonious, you know.
Rodoramontane. We'll start with that first.
Nah, acrimonious, which also means someone who's angry. But yeah, you know, Solo's not my level, guys, so it's all good. It's all good. But yeah, when I was 9 or 8, whatever, yeah, I probably just thought, you know, this is a villain. He's to very be honest, strong. Yeah,
I mean, we wouldn't have given him much thought then. Ooh, nah. Here we go.
Yeah, it's
going to be another fight going down. That's pretty much all we probably thought at the time.
If anything, I thought Nappa was the more interesting one just because he went around destroying cities and everything. At that age, yeah, but watching it back, you do see that demeanor of, because I've watched it back, I think 2-3 years ago, I went back through the whole Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
Story. And yeah, I think watching it back, you can see he was very calm then. And then his anger starts unraveling. But yeah, I think, so moving on from that, Solo, it's a case of then, so do you think, you mentioned that Vegeta was your favorite character. Do you think he's the most developed character in DBZ?
Well, because he gets with Bulma. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's hands down. That's development right there. He goes from... He gets with your waifu, right? I mean, that's
Bulma's not my waifu. You know my
you decided to pick Casca. That's who you decided to pick.
No. It wasn't Casca. I mean, she was on the list, but it was Hellas from Dragon Ball Super.
Okay.
Bulma was on the list as well, but, you know,
because of her monies.
It was because of her monies, yeah. But, you know, she won't respect me. She's making the money, so...
You know what?
It's... Money in a relationship, guys. If you're listening, if she's got more money than you, she's going to order you about.
Excuse me. You don't know that.
I'm telling you now, guys.
She's going to order you about. Are by Ed and Ed alone. They are not representative Anime podcast. Anyone can take. There are no gender rules.
Solo is
a
politically correct one here. But yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, so Hellas was the one from Dragon Ball Super, the god of destruction. But yeah, do you think he's the most developed character in DBZ?
Do you know what? It's, you could argue yes. You could argue yes. I haven't watched Super. So I have to put it out there, guys. I haven't watched Super. So I can't take into account anything that's happened in Super. However, from Dragon Ball Z standpoint, and I compare him namely to Goku, I've said this before, Goku to me is like a very boring character. Just the fact that Vegeta has gone from being an antagonist to on the side of the protagonist, that alone tells me a lot more about their character but it's a lot more character development as opposed to the protagonist who just exists to fight strong individuals. That's it. Who trolls people, you know, just think if then, you're strong, I want to fight you. It's like, come on, man. Like, this, let's see more growth than that. I think Vegeta, and you referenced it before at the beginning, like when he, do you remember when he, I mean, we'll get onto this, but I'm going to say it now. You know, when he killed himself, during the Buu saga.
Yep.
That alone, do you remember what he was saying? Like, saying, this is for you, Bulma. This is for you, Trunks. That alone, it's like, okay, this guy has gone from being somebody that goes around basically destroying planets to actually finding peace. I mean, we're taking it quite philosophical now, but
it's
finding,
right.
Finding like peace and being content with the quieter part of life. you know, the joyful parts of life. Like that alone, like, okay, I can deal with that. Like, he actually learns to, I think Piccolo references the fact that he actually, he's fighting for someone other than himself.
Yep, he does, yep.
So for me, I'm just like, I could, you could, that a lot. I mean, my favorite sagas is the Namek, is the Frieza saga and the Buu saga anyway. And then the difference between the two Vegetas, especially in the Buu saga, even the reason, like, you know, I think at one point where he's just crying, where he realizes that he's always going to be second best to Goku. But then the reason why Goku's the best, in my opinion, I mean, I think it's just because it's just part of the story. I mean, which is fine. I can accept that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
with Vegeta, you hear a lot more reasons and thoughts about how he feels about being second best, which is good. And I think because of that, you could argue that he's one of the more developed characters. I don't know who is the most developed character in DBZ, but he's probably up there for me. He's probably in the top three.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree because, to your point, you know, he has a lot of internal struggles which he had to deal with and overcome as a character. You know, like, to your point, you know, Goku is just kind of like, hey, I want to eat, I want to fight kind of thing. You know, there's not much depth there. Whereas Vegeta, you know, he's gone from seeing his father be tormented, ridiculed, you know, a proud prince who had who was basically, you know, son of a king, to then being subjected to the rule of the person who essentially, you know, killed his father. At the time, he probably didn't know, but or killed his people, you know, and then getting that realization as relates to, oh my gosh, you know, from my perspective, throughout the series, you can almost see how he gets from being that so-called bad antagonist to a protagonist. And for me, there's a point in the show where, you know, and I think this is probably the most poignant part of the whole Dragon Ball Z, is when Vegeta has that monologue where, you know, Frieza basically has him on the floor. Goku just arrives. He's crying. He tells Kakarot about how Frieza destroyed their
destroyed their planet.
Everything like that. For me, that was one of the most, I mean, to see someone like him cry, from always spewing up about how you need, where's your pride, you know, I'm prince, you know, prince don't cry, you know, kind of thing. I mean, it was more so, it was very much an unveiling. And for me, I think that's when, you know, the shift from antagonist to protagonist, or getting to a protagonist, kind of occurred. It wasn't immediate, but it was a shift from that in terms of, okay, Vegeta has kind of, he's kind of resolved his issues, you know, because he's found out that Frieza was the person who killed his people. You know, he's found another person of his race, so he's not the only one. Mm. So he reaches out to Kakarot to say, you know, if you can do this, please beat him on behalf of our people. And I think, you know, that for me was one of the most emotional moments in Dragon Ball Z, if not the most emotional moments in Dragon Ball Z.
Here's the thing. Yeah. And I'm always mindful when I go back, when I think about this. But when we were younger, we know, obviously, clearly, we were not thinking any of this. And it's only until you watch it again, when you're a little bit older, that you then realize and you can appreciate some of the things that characters go through. So it's for the same reason. I mean, I don't like Goku for the same reason. I'll go into this later, but I don't like Goku for the same reason I don't like Superman. I don't see enough too struggle. Strong. No, not too strong. I love strength, but it's just, I don't see enough I don't see enough internal struggle. Like, everything's too easy.
Hmm.
That's why I like Vegeta. Things never came easy to him. So that's something that you can always...
Whoa, well, that's where I'll disagree with you, Solo, because...
Well, okay, how?
You're saying that because I remember when they first started, or when they were boys, Vegeta was a stronger Saiyan than Goku. He was born with a higher power level. That's why Goku went... They shipped Goku off to Earth because he was a low-ranked Saiyan, right?
Are you sure?
Come on,
because you said this before, and I
yes. Yes.
All right, carry on.
He was a low rank Saiyan. He was shipped to Earth to conquer the Earth. He hit his head, and after he became a good person. And that's why when Vegeta comes, oh no, sorry, that's why when Raditz comes and says, did you hit your head? And he said, yes. And he said, oh, that's why you didn't destroy this planet. So yes, he was a low rank Saiyan sent to Earth. And Vegeta was a higher ranked warrior. So there was already that dynamic of Vegeta looking down on people because he was born as a high class warrior. He references that all the time in the Dragon Ball Z as well. It's not till he realizes, you know what, actually, and there's a quote where he says, Kakarot, you are better than me. I think it's in Super or late in Dragon Ball Z, I can't remember. But all that time before then, Vegeta just refused to believe that a low-ranked Saiyan who was born with a lower power level could be stronger than him. And there's actually, I don't know if you've heard of Dragon Ball Sai, where they put in reverse, whereby Vegeta is sent to Earth rather than Goku. Have you heard of that story?
No, I haven't. Go on.
It's quite interesting, actually. So basically, instead of Goku obviously being sent to Earth, Vegeta's the one who gets sent to Earth. But rather than all the struggles Goku went through with the Red Ribbon Army, Piccolo, just other enemies he faces, Vegeta just basically blitzed them. Like the Kamehameha, which Goku basically learned on first seeing it, but not as powerfully. Vegeta learns that quick. He's able to fly. Goku isn't able to fly in Dragon Ball. You know, Vegeta's able to fly. He basically just destroys everyone because he's just so powerful at the beginning. And then after, it's funny because then Goku comes with Nappa and then Vegeta fights Goku. But then because Vegeta didn't have struggles against any of those people, he wasn't really... gain, you know how Saiyans get strong with every battle, and the more severe it is, the stronger they get. So Vegeta wasn't gaining that experience, whereas when Goku, who was a lower ranked Saiyan, was out there trying to conquer Earths, he gains that experience. So when he comes to Earth with Nappa, he's actually stronger than Goku. He beats up Vegeta. Vegeta takes some spirit water from Korin, gets stronger, and then after they fight, and so on and so forth. But the point I'm trying to illustrate here is Vegeta was actually born stronger than Goku. And it was through hard work and grit that Goku was able to get stronger. And obviously the storyline.
That still doesn't make sense to me though. Because in Dragon Ball Super, the only reason that he was sent to Earth was because Bardock... Oh, well, Dragon Ball Super Broly, because I've watched that film. The only reason he was sent to Earth because Bardock felt that, okay, cool, Frieza's going to do something fishy here, and he might turn on us, so he sends him off to Earth to save him.
No.
Yes,
no.
That's what happens.
No.
Yes, it does. In Dragon Ball Super, I'm telling you, I knocked my mic there in anger. That's what happens. He goes in Dragon Ball Super Broly.
Goku was already going to get sent somewhere anyway.
I know that, but
he was already going to get sent. It was just the case where he was, in this case, he was getting sent to Earth. I'm 1,000%. All Saiyans of lower class status get sent to other countries to conquer it.
No, but it wasn't to be conquered. You're talking from the beginning, but then Dragon Ball Super Broly film, Bardock sends Goku there to save Goku, not to conquer Earth, but to save Goku.
No.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, fine. Even if they did snip this bit
and put it on Instagram,
I'm telling you, it's not. I'm telling you, you go back and watch it, and you see he was saying that. Well, we're sending him anyway. He was already going to get sent because he was a low class warrior.
I understand, take the
Broly, because you don't focus on Super. We're talking about Dragon Ball Z here. Don't focus on Super.
Yeah, but that's now canon. The Dragon Ball Super Broly story is canon.
What I'm saying is, it's still all low class Saiyans get sent to planets to conquer it. That's fact. The higher class Saiyans basically, because and they even say in the Broly film.
Yeah, I know that. Wait a second. So you're saying that Goku was sent because he was weak? No, he was sent because he was lower class, not because he was weak.
No, because he was weak. Ah, please watch the film again. I'm begging you. Because that's the whole point why they sent Broly away. Because remember, you saw Vegeta and Broly in those incubators at the beginning. And they could not believe that Broly's power level surpassed Vegeta's. And they were worried that they couldn't control him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That had nothing to do with class. It was power levels. So if Goku had the power level, he would have been there as well. But it was because he was a lower rank, as in lower power level soldier, they didn't deem him worthy, so they just sent him to another planet to conquer it.
I'm going to watch it again.
I'm begging you. I'm begging you. We've just wasted 10 minutes of recording. Quarreling on this. This is like basic knowledge, Solo. Basics.
I'm so confused. I'm so torn. I always thought that Vegeta was weaker as a as Goku.
If only I could bring it up. I promise, you know what? When we finish recording everything, I'll just record that bit. But in the beginning, you see them in the little chamber of water things, because I literally watched it 4 months ago. You see them in a water thing, and then they see the power level, and what's his name? Broly's there, and they felt intimidated by his power. That's why they sent him away.
Okay, cool.
So, Solo, do you think Toriyama underserves Vegeta in the anime? The reason why I say that, Solo, is, and here, this is an interesting fact that I didn't actually know, and I got this from Ranker, so if it's wrong, blame Ranker, don't blame me. But apparently, Toriyama didn't actually like Vegeta. He was his least favorite character. Guess who his favorite character was in Dragon Ball Z?
Yamcha.
Nah, Piccolo.
Piccolo.
Oh, yeah. Piccolo. I knew that.
No, I didn't know that, but Piccolo, he will be my second. Him and Vegeta, favorite ones.
Yeah, but apparently Vegeta was Toriyama's least favorite character. And Vegeta was actually only supposed to be initially a one arc villain, but because fans demanded his return and stuff like that.
Who, Vegeta's?
Yeah. They basically brought him back for the Frieza saga, and then Toriyama obviously killed him off when Frieza killed him. But then again, fans apparently begged, so they brought him back to life, and then that whole after Namek's saga happened. But apparently, Vegeta was not something that Toriyama had in mind long term. It was only that the initial fan feedback, the fact that actually, hold on, this might be a good story twist or story plot, that he actually gave Vegeta more of a role. So if you're a writer and you've already got in your head that Goku's the protagonist, the lead guy, you're already going to make him, you know, the one who's going to get the most benefits as it relates to the power up, so on and so forth. So I kind of feel like he did kind of underserve Vegeta. You see him more trying to balance it when it gets to Super, because even in Super, apparently he said he's going to give Vegeta a bit more equal role. Obviously, Goku's still the main protagonist, but he's going to give Vegeta a bit more of an equal role. Hence why, you know, he faces Frieza and Resurrection F and so on and so forth. He actually becomes Super Saiyan God himself without the actual help of having the God power with him. So yes, he's behind him, but Toriyama always, you know, not always, but Toriyama now gave him the ability to not be way behind, but just a bit behind Goku. So I think he underserves him. I don't know what your thoughts on that.
Does he underserve Vegeta? You know, I think I understand exactly what you mean when you say that is he underserved, but I think that you have to be very mindful that Goku's the main character. I don't think you can have Vegeta as the main character.
You can't have two CEOs.
Do that. So what I think, are you eating a senzu bean right now?
No, sorry. Was it? Can you hear it?
Yes, I can hear it.
I'm eating a protein bar. Yeah. I was muting my mic, so I didn't think you could hear it.
Senzu bean protein bar. I think I would like to see. I would like to see like a proper arc where Vegeta, for a period of time, Vegeta briefly surpasses Goku out and out. Not with margin powers, not with someone, not with other, some like little temporary boost, but just on off his own back temporarily is stronger than Goku. And then use that as a story perspective to build up Goku's character more, to say, this is what it feels like when you are not somebody that you've constantly beat for like 20 years is now stronger than you.
Well, saying so that,
I mean, I know there are characters stronger than Goku, obviously. I mean, Wiz.
When you say constantly beat, though, Goku never beat Vegeta.
Okay, all these technicalities, but he was stronger than him, basically, right?
He's stronger than him.
So I wanted to, I just like one little mini arc. That's all, where Vegeta is legitimately stronger, like beats Goku, and we see how Goku reacts, like just a proper one-on-one, proper fight. Like you said, not like, oh, technically hasn't beat him. They didn't really have this fight, or they didn't. No, have a proper fight. Vegeta wins. Go from there. How does people react? Does Vegeta go turn back into? Does he turn like to like some maniacal, crazy like warlord, or does that villain side start to come back when he realizes he's stronger than Kakarot? Or do we see more of Goku and realizing, oh wow, okay, I don't realize that other people below me can surpass me. Instead of looking outside to the wonderful world of all the different universes, what about my next door neighbor? So I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I would like to see that. And then that just gives a little bit of shine to Vegeta. And then that's it. Go back to Goku again.
No, I agree. I mean, there was a point, but it was more so Goku was sick. And that's probably one of my favorite moments. When he was facing Android 19.
Okay.
And then after, you know, he was winning, and after he went Super Saiyan and he started losing breath, and basically it was that virus Trunks told him about in the future. And then after, you know, Android 19 starts winning again, and then Vegeta comes, and that's one of the most epic moments, when Vegeta goes Super Saiyan, and yes, he's like, yes, I too have acquired legendary Super Saiyan. so that was a good moment. But yeah, I see what you mean. Like, actually, Vegeta, you know, being on top for once.
Yeah, just a short mini arc. Just a short period of time. Because obviously that can't happen. But I would like to see it.
Yeah, I would as well. I mean, obviously there are, when we're talking about Dragon Ball Z Super and Dragon Ball here, all canon stuff, guys. If you're, of course, there's like different universes, heroes and all that. I can't even keep up. But so there may be another universe of Dragon Ball where Vegeta is stronger. But for this one, we're just talking about Dragon Ball Super and Dragon Ball Z. So what does pride mean to you, Solo? Because pride is something that is a theme that runs in the show for Vegeta. You know, he's a prideful man, or he was a prideful man. And the reason why I say that, Solo, is because pride and prideful are two different things.
Okay.
No? Or a proud man and a prideful man are two different things. Explain. So a proud man is confident and happy about who he is. A proud man works hard to accomplish his goals and emotional healing, right? On the contrary, a prideful man is insecure and happy about who he is. He's the type of man who thinks he may be a loser or easily hurt. He has a fragile ego and is always protecting himself from potential of people's judgments and attacks. And he's also got his guard up and has a hard time letting people see his struggles due to distrust. So as you can see, what I just explained in a prideful man was essentially Vegeta. He did not trust anyone. He was very much a case where he had an ego. While he had an ego, it was still fragile. Just because every time he got beaten by someone stronger than him, he had a power trip, because, you know, I'm the Prince of all Saiyans. How can this be happening? but then I think he transitioned. So he keeps this. He still keeps the trait, but rather than being prideful, he becomes a proud man, someone who is someone who's happy and works hard to achieve his emotional healing and success, and I think now he's more of a proud man Someone who's proud about his race. We mentioned, you know, the fact that, you know, he kind of teared up in front of Goku when he was fighting Frieza. Even when Babidi tried to control him and he says, you may have invaded my mind. I was going to try and do it in a Vegeta voice, but you may have invaded my mind and body, but there's nothing that a Saiyan always keeps. His pride! But yeah, I can't do it well. And for those who want to hear it properly, as I was saying, you may have invaded my mind and body, but there's one thing a Saiyan always keeps, his pride. So I'm just wondering, what does pride mean to you? And do you think that it's something that is a good trait or a bad trait in Vegeta?
You've given me a good answer there. So I can't really add anything to that. But I mean, I don't necessarily agree with the pride and proud being different. I just think they're just two sides of the same coin. So yeah. There's proud, there's being proud, and then there's being proud to the extent where it then holds you back and it harms you. So yeah. I think Vegeta's growth is one of, he was proud to the point where it kind of prevented him from learning certain things, and now it's got to the point where he can still be proud of himself and what he does and his sayings and all that blah blah blah, but he no longer lets it prevent him from being stronger. That's kind of how I see it with Vegeta.
No, I see that, and I think the way they use it as well, because every time like he hits like I guess a ceiling, he remembers who he is, he remembers him, I'm a Saiyan, and he's able to tap into more of his, I guess, his power. So I think that they kind of use that, his pride as something to, you know, to elevate his status in terms of reaching more power. It happens in Super, where he Super Saiyan Blue, and he gets even higher form of Super Saiyan Blue. And even, and it's funny because when he actually gets Super Saiyan, he actually lets go of his pride, which was quite interesting actually, because he's like, you know, I've tried. It's still not working. I can't do it. Forget it. And then he actually gets Super Saiyans, which was quite interesting. I think it's to your point, you know, he let go of that pride, and because he let go, he kind of got the Super Saiyan, which was quite interesting because that pride is something that always helps him level up. But I think in that instance, it kind of humbled Vegeta. And I think proud men are able to be humbled, even though they are proud. They do accept that, you know what? Humility is also something that I need to work on. So that's the way I kind of saw it. I may be going a bit too deep in this, but that's the way I kind of saw it.
I want to take a quick side note, because we're doing something that I actually despise. I hate this so much, but it's also it's also a sign of what happens when you start watching something when you're quite young and you continue to grow with that particular show and until you're like an adult and you can then start to break things down. So we said this before, at the time when Dragon Ball Z came out, Dragon Ball Z is just an enjoyable TV show to us. That's all it was. And then now that we're adults, we're trying to go back and break down why it's important and the psychology behind it and so on and so forth. And so I always question, does the author actually want us to actually break this down? Or does he want us to say, shut up and enjoy my show? Just enjoy it. All right? There's beams. There's Super Saiyans. There's a bit of fan service if you like it. Shut up. I don't care. Don't break it down. You don't know his personality type. I don't know his personality type. Just enjoy the damn show. But it's like, but certain shows clearly are trying. Like, for example, if you look at something like even Naruto, you can't help but break down psychologically what happened to Sasuke and what happened to the Uchiha. That's understandable. Or even Hunter x Hunter. There are clearly some kind of trends is the completely wrong word there, but there are some themes? Ideas and themes. Okay, ideologies that are poked at and prodded at. With Dragon Ball Z, it's just about fighting.
Think you're giving Toriyama as much credit there, so like.
Do you know what I think it is, though? The longer it's gone on, that's when you try to retcon things and then go back and then add things in, because at the beginning, no, there was none of that. Because remember take... how it started? Yeah. Dragon Ball. Just Dragon Ball. Lighthearted, comedy, fun. And then now Dragon Ball Z happened. And then this is what I honestly think. I don't think it was up until the Boo saga where all my favorite moments, and it's funny because that's when you're getting closer and closer to adulthood, you start to like certain things. So all of my favorite moments, all of my favorite fights in Dragon Ball Z are in the Boo saga. All of them. Every single one. Like any, you say, what's your favorite insert? It will always be in the Boo saga. Apart from villain, which would be Frieza. Apart from villain, everything else, Boo saga. Everything else, Boo saga.
And speaking of Boo, guys, we had the amazing honor of getting Josh Martin on the show to give us a congratulations on the 9,000. So have a listen to this.
What's up? Josh Martin here, voice of Dragon Ball Z's Majin Buu. I have a special message for Edward and Solo from me and Boo.
Hello, Edward and Solo. Congratulations on 9,000 downloads. Next, get Vegeta when you get over 9,000. No, but seriously, don't let it go to your head, or I'll turn you to chocolate ninja.
Thank you so much, Josh. That was so, so appreciated. I love the Boo voice. Like, I know Solo said Boo was his favorite saga. For me, or in terms of fights, for me, it was definitely one of the favorite sagas in terms of just jokes, and that relationship with Hercule and Boo, or in fact, Boo, was just hilarious. I like so many funny moments. But if you want to see the actual video, then please do sign up to our email list, and we will make sure to send you the video. You can see it on full. But other than that, thank you so much, Josh Martin, and we will continue to keep going. 10,000 to come soon and beyond. All right, so Solo, you mentioned that we shouldn't give Toriyama that much credit.
No. Oh. Not that we shouldn't give him that much credit. He deserves all the credit in the world. He's the godfather. However, I just don't think certain things need to be broken down as much as certain shows. And I think Dragon Ball Z is one of those shows. I think we're just supposed to enjoy it. Look at Super. If I'm watching Super, I'm not watching it. It's not some sort of seinen.
Shame.
I just want to see some fights. I want to see a Gallic Gun. Let me see one. A young Kamehameha. That's it. A Destructo Disc. That's it. That's all I want to see.
Blasphemy all here, guys. I want to say something that you wisely said previously. You mentioned, and this was really a good quote you mentioned, you said, once a piece of art goes out into the world.
Oh.
And this is you. Don't argue me. This is you trying to sound wise. And you know, Edward, well, they say when art goes out into the world, it's no longer yours. It's up to the subjectivity of the people. So I'm going to say
credit.
That.
Take credit for that. I can't remember where I got it.
I know it's not your quote, but I'm just saying you introduced me to that quote. So I'm going to say that. I'm going to say that quote because I do listen, Solo. Sometimes you actually make sense. Not today, Mark Jacob. I'm going to take that quote and say, you know what? Whether he meant it or not, it's a piece of art and I can view it as any way I want to. Okay. It's subjective.
Okay, fine. All right. You got me there. I can't even say anything because it's like I'm actually arguing with myself. So I can't actually... Can't say anything. You know, that is very true.
Got him. Okay. All right. Well, moving on. Is there something to be said about the shonen trope and telling audiences that it's not all about having talent, but rather working hard? Because... Vegeta was the more talented warrior. And to be honest, I think technically, and he is actually more talented than Goku. You know, sometimes when they fight and Vegeta's like, Kakarot, how have you not realized? And then Goku kind of then really realizes or puts two and two together. So I think personally, and I could be wrong, I'd love to hear what you guys think, but I think Vegeta's technically a better fighter. But I think to the whole point of Goku being the main character, you know, it's kind of like that shonen trope, work hard and then you achieve your goals. So I just wanted to get a quick thoughts on that.
You know, it's universal. It's universal. Mm. It's not just a shonen trope. It's everywhere.
True.
It's absolutely everywhere. You could pick most popular books. It's just good storytelling. You take any like kind of wildly, insanely popular piece of media, and it's and or like an adventure story, for example, it's got that in it. The Hero's Journey, for example. But the Hero's Journey is basically about that. Well, okay, not basically about that. But one of the key things about the Hero's Journey is that you start from basically from nowhere, and you have a guide, and you work hard for a number of trials and tribulations, and then you get stronger, and then you defeat your enemy, and then you become, blah, blah, blah.
True.
So I don't necessarily, I mean, Hero's Journey is a bit more than that. But the point I'm making is that if people want to see it as a shonen trope, I'm here to say no, it's everywhere. You can find even like most popular films, for example, you have that montage of them training, Rocky
montage.
Rocky running through Philadelphia, running through Philly, running up the stairs. You have all of that. So it's that everyone loves an underdog story. Why? Because it's that grit and determination that then takes you beyond just talent. So like obviously we're from the UK. A couple years back, Leicester Football Club, they won our top football league, right?
Premier League, yeah.
And they won. And one of the stories is like, oh, look at this group of the team is better than just a team of individuals. When there's teamwork and there's effort and there's grit and there's determination, that can surpass a collection of stars with individual high talent. You need that. So everybody likes that. You can see there's examples of it everywhere. So I'm not, I don't think, I mean, is there something to be said? Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere and it's probably, it's good. I mean, if you look at, like, I can't remember what it's called, but you know that 1% rule. So if you improve on something 1% every day or something that. Well, I can't remember what it is.
You mean the Kaizen method, continuous improvement?
Yeah, or something like that. And then over a year, you're like 30% better than where you were.
I don't know if it's specifically the 1% method, Kaizen is basically like continuous improvement. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you look back, you don't have to be 50% better on day one. It's just 0.5% today, another 0.5% tomorrow, another 0%, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, you can get better at something. And I think that's always going to, in life in general, You need to be able to work hard. You need to have talent, but if you have talent and you don't work hard, you're not gonna make the most of your gifts. And I actually truly believe everyone has their own gifts. Everyone has their own gift. But if you don't work on it, you're wasting it. You're just wasting it. So I think the reason why we see it so often is that it's something that people can always be drawn to and see themselves in a version of that struggle.
Jeez! A round of applause.
Da 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 da.
You've redeemed yourself.
No, but basically, long story short, no, I think it's a good thing because everybody can see themselves in a version of that kind of that struggle, basically. You know?
That was a good monologue, as it were. That was good. I completely agree with you. I like the fact that you mentioned it's not just a shonen trope, it's true. Most of the greatest stories do have, you know, everyone loves an underdog, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
What's that American football? Rudy, that's it. I don't know if you've seen a American football film called Rudy.
No.
It's so good. I know my American listeners will probably have seen it, but to anyone really, Rudy is an amazing film. It's an amazing, amazing film. Essentially, it's about a guy who's like maybe 5'5", 5'6", very small, works his butt off to try and get into the football team, but never makes it. He doesn't play one game, but he trains hard, he does the water boy thing, he like gets the gear, cleans people's boots, everything. And then I don't want to ruin it. Watch it. It's an amazing show.
You might as well have spoiled it. Last game of the season, he plays and wins the ball game.
He plays, but it's the way he plays is okay, how it's amazing. So you go and watch it, and it's very touching, you know. I know you're a Vegeta kind of guy, Solo, but it might make you cry. So
you know what? I was actually thinking, I was like, okay, cool, let's go through. If you just sit back and think about how many, like, media, film, books, you name it, where they have a main character or main team and they work hard. Rocky,
mm-hmm.
You've got Captain America, you could argue. Mm-hmm. He was chosen not for his physical abilities, but his heart and so on and so forth.
Yep.
Then you've got Coach Carter. You got Remember the Titans. You got all those things where it's more about working hard than who's got the Mighty Ducks. I'm picking just 90s films because you see that a lot in 90s films.
a ragtag
group of ruffians. And they're up again. It's all over the place.
It's a great formula, man.
Yeah, exactly. It works. What's that one? Where the Adam Sandler's in prison. And a new
Longest Yard. And they had like Stone Cold or Goldberg, wrestlers in there and stuff. I mean,
obviously these people have talent, but the important thing is, I mean, this is more team focused, but
like,
working hard is part of it. Working hard is part of it.
All right. Gambete. Anyway. So I wanted to ask you a theoretical question. If Vegeta attained immortality in Namek, do you think he'll still be a good guy? Because obviously the race to get the Dragon Balls and become immortal was basically the main goal in the Namek saga.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if Vegeta gained immortality, he would be a good guy?
No way. No way. In Namek, no way. He was too fresh into the protagonist game. He still had aspirations of world domination. All right,
he would still be a bad guy then.
Yeah, of course he would. You give the Vegeta and Namek immortality, he's gonna be like, screw all of you, I'm here now. Screw all of you. I don't need you. You can't even kill me anymore, Kakarot. You can't even kill me. Mm. So even if you try, I'm not gonna die. I will outlive you, Kakarot, and then I will take over. So for me, I'm like, no way, no. Of course, he would be a bad guy in Namek. Yeah. come on. In the Buu saga, if you gave it to him after he killed himself and then you revived him and you gave him immortality, I think he'll be a good guy then. I think he'll be a good guy.
No, but I agree.
If you gave the Vegeta in Namek and you revived him and said, "Yeah, okay, Vegeta, you're alive now." And you're now not in the life, but you've got immortality. Now, the guy will be a tyrant, man.
I am Super Vegeta.
Exactly. What? No. You think trucks would exist? No way.
That would be quite a cool non-canon like series to explore. If Vegeta got immortality.
Yeah.
I think it would obviously. I don't know where he would go, but it would be a bit... I don't know. The only thing I could think of is that they would have to gather the Dragon Balls again and then wish for Vegeta to not be immortal.
But then that's just... The Dragon Balls is a beautiful story thing to have because if anything goes wrong... go to the Dragon Balls. If anything, even from Akira Toriyama, he's writing a storyline. He goes, you know what? I'm going to try this storyline. He writes it. He sees the fallout. He sees people don't like it. Ooh, let me dust off those Dragon Balls. Let me dust them off again. It looks like people don't like this. Let me dust it off.
He's like, why did he get rid of Krillin? Okay.
The Dragon Balls.
Krillin's next back, everyone.
Just carry on going. Just keep on going. It's a beautiful thing.
Complete redo.
Kill him off. You know, I should have done that other idea. Yeah. No. Dragon Balls. You just go to your editing team. So I've got an idea, right? I think we're gonna revive everybody again. And you can imagine the editors like, come on, Akira, come on, man! Like, enough is enough. We can't keep using it. It's whose story is it? It's mine. Okay. I want to bring back Jiraiya. And I want to put him, I want to bring him alive and put him into Dragon Ball. But it's a different show completely. I don't care. The Dragon Balls can do everything. He deserves to be alive. God. Pain shouldn't have killed him. And then next episode, you see Jiraiya in the background.
Him and Master Roshi.
Exactly. On the island.
Oh, both perfectly together.
Just sharing magazines.
Oh, man. Oh, ultimate reader. Yeah, totally true. Oh, gosh. My head hurts. Oh, man. Okay.
It's a good little plot device to have, sorry.
Yeah, 100%. 100%, you know. If all things go wrong, Dragon Ball it.
Just Dragon Ball it.
I think that's the whole point of concept of GT, wasn't it? They abused the Dragon Balls, and therefore that's why, you know, those bad energy came out.
I mean, that's more more than I do about GT. I don't even know that.
The concept of GT, the fact that they misused and overused it. Even in the, I think the Elder, the Supreme Kai says you shouldn't be using the Dragon Balls like this and so on and so forth. But yeah. So I think he was aware of it. That's probably why he wrote it into the story. He was probably aware of it. Oh, man. Okay. Speaking of awareness. Who is the better fighter, Vegeta or Goku? I think we've already answered this, but
yeah, it's a loaded question because it's gonna be Goku. I mean, you can try to argue that it's Vegeta. You can try, but the fact is that if he was a better fighter, he'll be stronger.
No, not necessarily.
Okay, why?
You study martial arts, and you're probably got teachers, or look at those teachers who are an old age, you know, or something like that. You may be physically stronger, but technically they're better than you.
Okay, but we're not talking about techniques, oh, are we?
Well, when I say who's a better fighter, it's all encompassing.
So Yamcha could be a better fighter than both of them if he's got better techniques by that definition.
But he doesn't have better technique. That's the thing, though.
Why not? We don't know that.
No, we do though.
How do you know that? take the Saiyan transformations out. How do you know?
Because I just know.
It's like, take the Saiyan transformations. How do you know? You don't know. So that's why I say it's a loaded
because
question.
the way the Saiyans train is just ridiculous. Like,
okay, I think it's
hyperbolic
anyway.
Time chamber and all that stuff.
Yeah, those are just training techniques. I think Goku. Either way, I think it's Goku. I think it's a loaded question. It has to be Goku. You can't.
No,
argue.
I don't think it just has to be Goku. Like I mentioned, Goku and Vegeta fought. Neither of them have won a battle against each other. It's always been a draw.
No, it hasn't. Yes. When it was Majin Vegeta, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that
they
is
fought.
A,
they fought, and enough
joke.
That they.
No, that was a yeah. joke. That was a joke because Goku was just trolling Vegeta the whole time. You do realize that throughout that whole fight,
he could have been Super Saiyan 3. Yeah.
But, that's a joke. That's a joke.
But
that's
his time would joke. Have his time would have expired, and that's so, one of the reasons why he didn't go to Super Saiyan 3.
So exactly. So that doesn't count as a draw. That just counts as good.
Hey,
that's like
hey,
that's
hey,
like
hey,
me.
I
fighting,
don't write the story. I don't no, write the story.
But I don't think that's a draw. That's like me fighting a 5-year old, and then I say, you know what? Oh, you got me. Oh, you're so strong. And then you're going to say, yeah, Solo is as strong as a 5-year old. No, no.
You know why this is so funny, guys? Because no. Solo is like 6'2 and a 5-year old. Like 3'4 or something like that.
Kick me in the shin.
Kicking
or something.
His shin.
No. And that'd be more painful for them.
Probably,
kneecap.
Actually.
that's what I'm saying. Like, no. That's a joke. Goku's a troll. That's who he is. Goku's
nah, man. Vegeta has never lost against Goku, and I'm standing
okay,
by
right
it.
Here. He's been made to feel like an idiot.
I'm
that's
standing
how,
by
that's,
it, guys.
That is a, no, no. Goku's a troll, man. No.
You could argue that Vegeta probably, okay, maybe didn't win the first. Did he win the first fight?
I know at the beginning when he first came, and then obviously they needed like a hella bunch of people to take him down. they needed I get that. But after that point, no. Goku, hands down. It's a loaded question. He can't be Vegeta. It can't be.
I still stand by the fact that he's never lost. So, but we'll move on. A lot of people getting triggered. what's your favorite Vegeta moment then?
Final explosion versus Boo, where he sacrifices himself for Bulma and Trunks and Kakarot. Hands down.
He had that ready.
That was, come on, that's the one thing. Because I remember thinking, so he's actually going to kill himself? No, he ain't going to do that. He's not going to do that. And he actually did. So I'm like, okay, cool. That's the most memorable Vegeta moment I have. Most memorable. And then also
don't touch my Bulma.
No. They ridiculed my poor Vegeta, man. They made him, he's a, no. After all that, wearing Hawaiian shirts. No.
Mr. Badass and Pink.
Wearing Hawaiian shirts. No.
Oh, mate. Now, I think my favorite moment has to be when, you know, he's crying, man. That got me, man. When he's on the floor and he's basically pouring his heart out to Goku as it relates to what Frieza did to his people. That was emotional, man. For someone of his stature, you know.
I get it.
That's probably more emotional than when he killed himself against Boo.
See, this is the thing. I need to probably go back and watch, because the last time I watched Dragon Ball Z from start to finish was a good long time.
Yeah.
So I probably want to. But you make a good point, though. I probably need to go back and see how, with the knowledge we've got now about just how stories are told and so on and so forth, how I would actually interpret the story now.
Mm.
Is there certain things? Maybe I might become a Yamcha fan. Maybe I might say, oh, nah, they did my guy dirty. Maybe.
Do you know what? They saying that, they actually did, I think maybe it was, I don't know if it was because of fans' reception or whatever, they actually gave Yamcha his moment of shine in Super, where they play a baseball game. And you know, Yamcha used to be a baseball star. So this was actually a moment where Yamcha was actually able to compete.
wait. How is Yamcha gonna compete against Saiyans? How is that possible?
It's baseball. There's no fighting here.
No, but just physically, if I'm a Saiyan and you're one of the best baseball players in the world, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You hit a home run and it goes, do you think that's gonna face me? No, that's cool. Jump, fly.
No, there's no flying allowed. There was no flying allowed.
So you're saying that Yamcha is physically stronger base level than Goku and Vegeta?
It's not about strength.
Go and watch the show, Super.
Okay. Go and watch the show solo. The episode has Yamcha basically. You're allowed to use your base powers or whatever, like your Super Saiyan. They say don't go Super Saiyan Blue or whatever, but they didn't, and it eventually blew up the whole arena.
But Yamcha's the best, yeah?
Yamcha's
Super Saiyan Blue.
No, but Yamcha won the game Yamcha won the game because he was to win the game you have to basically get to the base or whatever. The different bases. He actually got to the final base and he won the game.
I paid any money because no one else knew how to play the game. They did.
But you know, you have to watch the Super. It's basically a filler episode, but it was really good. It was really good to see Yamcha
episode.
Get his...
Was it a filler episode? It doesn't count. Yeah.
Of course it counts.
It doesn't count.
It's part of the anime. Stop hating Yamcha.
I need to watch Super. Who Dragon Ball Z did dirty? Tien.
Who?
That's painful, man.
He was so badass in Dragon Ball, man.
Because I have watched Dragon Ball more recently than Dragon Ball Z. I went back to watch Dragon Ball.
Okay.
And they did him dirty in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. There was a point where he actually came back. So when he's fighting Cell and he's doing that, what's that special move again called again?
The triangle thing.
Yeah, the tri-beam, that's it. So when he's fighting Cell and he holds off Cell doing tri-beam, I give him ratings for that. I give him ratings for that. That was when he, you know, he at least they gave him some sort of you know, clout or some sort of some recognition.
They need to unlock another level for humans, man. Because the distance between Saiyans and humans is just too much. It's just too much. It's not fair. Well,
Saiyans are aliens, though.
So?
What do you mean so?
I don't care. Just he's got.
They were born on planets with a 20 where genes. The gravity level, sorry, is 20.
I don't care. He's got Dragon Balls. Unlock, wish a new level for them. I don't care. Find a way to write the fact
that Krillin is smashing rocks and stuff like that is already amazing. Anyway, so.
I don't care. I want them to have like another level.
I think that's what they tried to do with Oob. I think that's what they tried to do with Oob.
Yeah, but after Oob, do you see? Okay, because I haven't actually watched Super. Do you see Oob in Super? Is he there?
Not yet. Not yet. He will be introduced, but not yet. So, moving on, favorite Vegeta fight?
Oh, Majin Vegeta versus Goku.
You just margin everything, innit?
Yeah, everything. Everything. That was the best one. He looked sick as well with the black M on his face, tattoo, you know. I mean, obviously, I already told you before, Goku was a troll in that fight. But no. Actually, my favorite moment when he used those energy, you know, those energy rings and trapped him up against the wall, against the
brick. Against Goku, yeah.
Only because I just never seen energy beams used in that way before, so I was just like, that's quite cool. But no, for
it's
me,
good knowledge, yeah.
For me, I just thought, that's quite cool actually. But then when I remember watching that fight on YouTube, and thinking to myself, this would be bad. Okay, well now with the knowledge of how hard animation is,
yeah.
I can appreciate why they have and then it just flashes every
so fast.
I can't see them. No, we don't have budget. Okay, it's too hard. but I get that. But I would have loved to have seen that fight animated now, and seen them try to incorporate a bit more hand to hand combat in there. That'd have been cool to see.
No. I mean, look, that was definitely the blockbuster one as relates to Goku versus Vegeta, because everyone wanted to see that. For me, I think I had quite a few fights. I like the, like I said, the more it gets to Super, the more energy beams and stuff like that. It's a bit annoying.
Okay.
I really like the Android 19 fight. I mentioned it earlier. The fight where Vegeta comes, he's Super Saiyan, and like you could see a bit more hand-to-hand combat.
Okay, cool.
As opposed to just beams and stuff like that. So I really like that fight. Obviously, I liked the fight against Zarbon. That was really good as well. That was when, you know, when they'd hit someone and it would fly and it would hit them and then it would fly and they would hit them and almost like air volleyball.
Yeah.
I ain't seen that in a while, actually, but yeah.
That's kind of cool. Like air volleyball. You know the one where they punch them up in the air and they go, and then they like zoom behind them.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what I mean, the air volleyball. That's exactly what it was.
And then punch them back down.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was, the air volleyball. So I really like that fight. So for me, those were, I mean, they may not be the ones that stand out, like obviously in terms of the moments, but I think for me, those were really, really good fights. Obviously, the Goku versus Vegeta when they first meet each other, that was obviously an epic battle. But for me, I think, yeah, the Android 19 one, because it was when Vegeta introduces himself as a Super Saiyan as well. It was just epic, man. It was really good. I really liked that fight.
Yeah.
So, Solo, we've got a new Pokemon.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Nidorino.
What the hell?
Yes.
Is that the Rhino one?
It's the pre-evolution of the Rhino one. So Nidoking. So
doesn't Nidorino go into Nidoking and Nidoqueen?
Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
It's the pre-evolution.
Okay.
So it goes, yeah. So it's Nidorino. So this was a question sent by Phil. Phil, who is part of the Phil Academy podcast. So thank you so much, Phil. Go definitely check out their Filler Academy podcast. It's all about anime and fillers, which I think is a nice touch as relates to the podcast. So yeah, definitely go and check it out. They've got loads of episodes, I think about 6-7 now, around the best fillers in anime. So definitely go check them out. Solo, we are talking about Nidorino. So I'm going to give you some time, get the properties of the Pokemon, you know, just digest it. I think it's a poison Pokemon. Maybe you can do it in a setting with like, you know, Z or Dragon Ball Z. I don't know how you want to do it. It's up to
that,
you.
That, I'm telling you now, that won't work. I can't put. I just googled what it looks like. This is gonna be a tough one. This maybe might like be, this might be no. Okay. Yeah, let's. I'm gonna do it, but this might be the first defeat. Solo
No. You can do it solo. You can do it. Believe it.
No, I understand. There are some Pokemon that I would be defeated by. There's
no. I mean, you could perhaps maybe get them the Vegeta as a character, but don't put him in the Z world. And maybe, you know, he's working in a factory, and then, you know,
that's your stories that people laugh at. That's working in a factory. What are you talking about? Well, so there's this one story, right? Vegeta's working in a factory, and, you know, Nidorino jumps and stabs them. And then Vegeta goes, "Oh, Kakarot, you done it again." And then, yeah, and then he gets poisoned, and then he wakes up in hospital.
I'm dead. No.
But he was only out of water for 2 days, so he went back. He went back to work. He just needed a plaster. It's all right.
He said, Kakarot. Kakarot, come. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. No. I was going to say Nidorino maybe does some poison gas in the factory or something like that. But,
what are you talking about?
What is this? He said, "Kakarot, you got me. That got me." All right. I'll give you some time. Obviously, like we said, it's all off the cuff, people. So Solo only gets revealed the Pokemon when I tell him. So this is all spontaneous. So Solo, I'm going to give you some time. Think about it. Think about your setting, the scene, and so on and so forth.
Oh, this is hard. This is hard.
No rush.
Okay, all right, I think I got it.
You sure? I have a thing, it's all good.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, Ed, there's going to be some that are not going to be, that won't be scary. Which is the whole point. So I'm thinking. Okay, I think I've got it.
All right. That was quick. I mean, I would usually need like 10 minutes, but all right.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to... Close my eyes. All right, cool. Okay. But yeah, all right. So Solo has it. He's going to introduce us. If you're in your room, maybe in the kitchen, maybe on a run. Okay, maybe not on a run. But wherever you are, where you're not moving and you're in a solitary position, close your eyes and then get immersed into the Solo Special Stories.
So I was at work in this factory. And then Nidorino stabbed me.
You're such an idiot.
Kakarot, he got me.
You're such an idiot. You are such an idiot. My factory one would be a great one, actually. Thank you, Solo. It would be better than your trash.
Oh, my gosh.
Mate. It's all about the scene, Solo. The factory is a perfect scene.
What is Nidorino? What is Nidorino doing in a factory?
Because it's a factory that manufactures Pokemon.
That manufactures Pokemon.
Yeah, like... it's like, you know, when Team Rocket were, you know, making Pokemon. It's like that kind of factory. Because they were making Pokemon. Gosh. So obviously, Mewtwo was obviously made of Pokemon. So yeah.
That is too much. Oh, okay. This is a tough one. This is the first time I'll say this is a tough one.
He's stalling.
I fully am stalling. This is a tough one. Thank you so much.
I told you can have as much time as you want. I'll just edit the.
No. Up. Sometimes I want people to feel see the struggles as well. See the struggles as well. Like,
Maybe in the jungle.
The thing with it is that it's you probably could make it scary, but that's only if you saw it in real life.
Nah, it's a poison Pokemon.
But it's there's no way I can't make it scary. It doesn't. Cubone can be scarier.
Why can't Nidorino be scary? If it's a poison Pokemon with a horn on its face. Do you want me to do the story?
No. You can do it and we can laugh, but I want to try. I want to try. I'm generally trying to rack my brains how to do it.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you some time. I'll stop talking.
No, it's fine. You can talk. It's fine. It's okay. I just don't know. Because
I think maybe you're thinking about it from a real world perspective. It can still be in a fictionalized place, you know?
Like what? It's not going to be scary.
Yeah,
it won't maybe be scary. If it's not real life, it won't be scary.
Maybe it's just then a story.
You know what? I'm gonna just we'll just make this a funny one.
Yeah, fine.
We'll just make it a funny one, and then we'll say you got me. This is the first one that got me, because that's gonna be part of it. It can't be every single one. Not every single one. Of course.
Cool. All right. I mean, okay. I could do it, but you know.
Let me do it, and then you'll see what I do with it. Okay.
All right.
Cool. So everyone, sit back and welcome to another episode of Solo Special Stories. It's a nice summer's day. There's a nice breeze. You feel the air going running through your hair. You decide to go for a hike through the long grasses and the luscious fields. You're hiking up. You're slipping a little bit. Then all of a sudden, you feel a prick by your ankle. You look down, you see purple stuff. You see purple stuff just dripping down your leg. Then you hear rustles, you hear rustling in the batting off into distance. You see the long grass rippling as something runs towards you. You start trying to run away, you trip over, you fall over. You're face down on the ground, you look up, and the last thing you see is a purple spear. Rams into your face. You're poisoned. Kakarot, you got me. I was stumped.
Solo, man. That was hilarious. There you go, Phil.
Kakarot, you got me. Kakarot, you got me. You're Vegeta. You've been defeated by Kakarot once again. There is no way. I think that's the first defeat. When I was telling the story, I knew I was going to get defeated. That was Nidorino.
Let me show him how it's done.
Prepare to laugh, guys.
Let me show him how it's done.
you can't even start without laughing. At least I tried to pretend scary in the beginning. I tried to pretend.
No.
You're laughing already. Go on, let me hear. You say your words.
All right, cool.
Exactly. You can't do it.
No, I can. I just needed to get that out.
Nidorino.
Oh, Kakarot, you got me.
I have the first defeat of Solo's Special Stories.
Cool. Hold on.
I accept defeat. Thank you. Thank you for giving that to me. I accept defeat.
Right. You ready, yeah?
Go on.
All right, cool. So, you're in Egypt. You're on an excavation.
Why are we in Egypt?
Why not? Can you let me finish my story? In fact, go on mute.
Okay.
Go on mute. All right, start again. We're in Egypt. We're on an excavation to find some lost bones. Everything's going well, we planned, we've got all our equipment, we've prepared. As we approach the Sphinx, we notice a cave in the Sphinx. Ellie decides she wants to go and see what's in the cave. I'll be right back, Jim. So she goes into the cave. And out of the first light, you know, it just seems like a normal cave. Nothing really scary about it. You know, it's daylight, the sun's shining, it's hot, you can feel the desert heat. But Ellie decides, you know, let me venture further. She hears something and her gut tells her that there might be something there. So Let me venture further. So she goes further into the cave. She trods along, keeps walking, till the light that was at the beginning of the cave is no longer there. Now she does have a light on her mobile phone. So she uses that as a torch. She ventures a bit more further.
How long is this cave? Ellie and Jim,
can you just shut up, please, and let me finish?
How long is the cave?
Wait, I'm building a suspense here. I'm not like you, just gets it. That correct, you got me. Jeez, man, I'm going to have to mute that out. All right. Anyway, so, as I was saying, she ventures a bit more further. So she finally thinks, you know what, there's nothing here, so I might just well go back. As she turns around, she hears a noise. At this point, her reception's gone, but her phone's still fully charged, so she still has the light. So she thinks, you know what, let me just go a bit more further. Just a few more steps, as it were. She goes a bit more further, but she falls. She's twisted her ankle. She's in pain. Her phone smashed, and she's in complete darkness. She tries to get up. She tries. As she reaches out to grab something to leverage, as a point of leverage to get up, she grabs something which almost feels lifelike, feels like a horn. As she grabs it and presses it and squeezes it to get leverage, she hears a snarl, opens her eyes, and then she starts to run, forgetting all the pain that she has with her ankle, the adrenaline pumping. You know what? Screw you, Solo. Screw you, Solo. Oh,
my gosh. What is this? I've been laughing for about... Oh my! Wait,
you didn't even let me finish the story, Solo.
We're still in the...
You
just...
You didn't even let me finish the story.
Oh my gosh!
Wait, calm down.
Wait. So let's do a recap. Who was walking through the cave? And so where's Jim?
She left Jim. You weren't listening.
So why do you even mention Jim's name?
Because it was her and Jim on the excavation. It was a duo.
She's gonna die alone in the cave.
You just don't understand great storytelling, Solo. That's what it is.
5 minutes, we're still in the cave.
About 5 minutes. It's called suspense, mate. Building suspense.
She hurt her ankle.
Yeah, so have you never fallen and hurt your ankle?
And then I go back to get help, not walk back, not limp deeper into the cave.
No, she didn't limp. She ran once she found out, once she heard the snarl. You weren't listening. That's why.
Oh, it was too funny.
You were not listening.
Oh, my chest.
See, guys, he didn't even let me finish because it was also going to be an epic ending. But, you know,
I sent you a voice. I put myself on mute and sent you a voice note of me listening, of me laughing, because you need to hear, people need to hear how I was laughing. So as soon as I stopped talking, I want you to play my laughter, okay? Because...
All right, let's go. Let's
play. Oh, gosh.
Let's play. You loser.
That is...
You know what you sound like? Hold on. Guys, this goes on for 45 seconds.
I'm still in the cave.
You are demented, mate. What? That went on for 45 seconds, guys. 45. You know what? You sound like the Joker.
My chest is
you
hurting
actually
me.
Sound like the Joker.
Oh, my chest is hurting me.
You actually sounded like the Joker there. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I think I'm going to use that laugh as some kind of... some prank kind of thing. That soundbite. Because that is actually scary. So. Oh, my gosh.
Laughter is the best medicine. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But as you can see, my story was better. So, you know.
It was better than mine. It was better than mine. I'll
you
give
didn't
you that
let
much.
Me finish.
No, I didn't. It was, the pain was too much.
It was building the suspense.
Oh.
Anyway, there you go, Phil. So over 9,000 downloads. Over 9,000! Anyway, over 9,000 downloads. We want to say thank you, everyone, so much. You know, we've been listening to in over 130 countries, and I really, really appreciate the support. And to reward that support, we want to give you a chance to get on the show. So please, 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 please send in your voice notes. If you can send your voice note by the 16th of May, that's the 16th of May, 2021. So we can get you on the 10,000 download episode where we will be playing all your voice notes. Send us a voice note, less than a minute, of your favorite moment on Super Anime Podcast. It can be anything, you know, Ed's funnier than Solo. I loved how Ed was funnier than Solo. Anything like that, because I am funnier than Solo. Ed gives so much knowledge and, you know, some depth and
clarity. Okay. Your favorite moments.
Oh man, yeah, just give your favorite moments and that'll be awesome. We'll also be giving some prizes to the best one. So superanimepodcast.com voice note 16th of May. We'll make sure to get it in on the 10,000 download episode. And with that, Solo, I'm going to try something new. So as you know, we've been listened to now in over 130 countries, and I really, really appreciate everyone. So I just picked out a country randomly from who listens, and I've got Malaysia here, and I believe they speak Malay. So every episode or every other episode, we're going to alternate in terms of saying goodbye. I believe goodbye in Malay. And apologies, Malaysians, if you're listening to this and I've butchered your language. But, you know, I want to show appreciation. So selamat tinggal, which I believe is goodbye. So thank you, one, and selamat tinggal.